So what I want to say is, you know, Coleman, I hope it works out for us in the future. Who knows? Maybe our paths will cross again. If not, I hope we can remain friends.
Damn. Drew just broke up with Carson Coleman.
Yeah, I'm
breaking up with Carson Coleman is a good episode title if you weren't doing the Willy Ogie thing right now.
Welcome back to Brews and Bruins, a podcast network podcast presented by DraftKings. We are here recording. I don't even know if the game's over yet, but
does it matter?
Yeah, I checked out after the first period, so we're not going to talk about that game at all, other than the events that preceded it. Willie O'Ree's number retiring ceremony, obviously a super important figure in the NHL and beyond. Just kind of wanted to offer up our thoughts about Willie as a dude, and what he means to both the NHL and the Bruins organization. And, before we kick it off, we want to do some beers.
Yeah.
Sure thing.
Yeah. Chris, I got something else for you.
Ho?
Yeah. What's up, boy?
Yo! Webcam cam.
I was waiting for Chris to give me a stats.
Web Cameron over here.
Been lighting over here soon, but I'm back on the webcam, baby.
Cam has Cam Brooke. Brooke.
Cam. Mm-hmm. Damn. I was not prepared for that.
Start Cam. Let's go.
Gave you some real shit beforehand, but.
Yeah, no, it's ready to rock. I know. I thought about whipping it out there, but the camera, that is.
Cam, you should never whip it out.
There's the cold open.
decided to wait till mid pod there. So, I have one of my favorite kind of macro brew. I don't know if it's technically a macro brew, but larger scale brewery beers here. Lancey had it on a couple weeks ago. I've had it on here plenty of times. The Harpoon Big League. Big hops, big haze is how it describes itself. And it's a pretty apt description, 7.2%. It is a big and juicy IPA. Nice and hazy. It's got that perfect IPA color that these guys can kind of finally see now, even though my room is really dark. Just if you want like a true IPA that tastes like an IPA that's not going to break the bank, this is the one to go for right here.
I love not breaking the bank.
Yes, me too.
That drinkability stays unbroken.
Yeah, they did it in the 20s and it fucked their shit up for a while. So drinkability, probably pretty low. It is a bit bitter. Got that kind of sweet citrusy to it, but it's got the bitter aftertaste. I'm going to say probably about a 10. And taste, can certainly taste it. 28 for taste. Very tasteable, but not any specific types of flavors that jump out at you. So I won't kind of put it into the 30s. But like I said, if you want just a reliable IPA, Harpoon Big League is for you. That was a good ad. Something like that.
All right, I'll go next, save the best for last, because I don't have a super interesting beer. I got a Kona Big Wave. I saw one of you guys were drinking one of these maybe over the weekend.
Yes,
that was,
sir.
That was Mr. Drew over here.
Shawnee Peak in Maine.
Yeah, I've had it on the pod before. I think a pretty solid, crushable beer. I like the kind of floral notes in it, and it's mostly inoffensive. 35 drinkability, 12 tasteability.
Hell yeah. Love that.
Love it. I here have a doppelganger, but there's an umlaut. That's an umlaut, right? The double dot.
I honestly don't know. I know that it's what it's called when it's over the U. I don't know if that changes when it's over a different letter.
Or maybe it's an omlaut because it's an A. anyway, a doppelganger here. From Geary Brewing Company, established 1983. And I saw somewhere on the can, I lost it now, but I think they claim to be like the original or like the first like craft beer, like brewing company in Maine. I'm not seeing that now, so maybe I was wrong. Yeah, I'll give it to them anyway, the oldest craft brewing company in Maine since 83. A nice 8%. It is rich with malty sweetness and mild hop bitterness. Doppelganger is a full-bodied dark lager with a rich malt flavor and a clean, crisp finish. So I'm not always a fan of the darker beers. I actually had one at the Ski Mountain over the weekend from Shed Brewing Company. And I ordered it thinking it was like maybe an IPA or something. Turned out to be a dark beer. It had a lot of chocolatiness, and I like that.
Which Shed was it?
I forget the name because it was just, you see it on the tap. Oh, that's a Shed Brewing one. I like that company, you know, like, mystery. If someone go out there, Lancey, go figure it out.
Yeah, Lancey.
Please.
Yeah. Figure it out. Ooh. Yeah, this definitely has like that chocolatey kind of feel to it. Like, it does have that sweetness. It's a darker beer, but it has that sweetness at the end. And I can definitely tell there's a little bit of hoppiness, but definitely it's more on the sweeter side than hoppy. So 8% though, it is pretty heavy. Drinkability. Yeah, that's tough. I'm going to have to go 18 on that. And that's considering that's an 8%. It's definitely a heavier beer. Tasteability. That sweetness really comes out, and I really do like that. Tasteability, I'm going to go with a 30.
All right, right on. Well, yeah, let's go straight into our thoughts on the Willie O'Ree ceremony and thoughts on him in general. I wanted to say a couple of words about him because he's not only an ambassador for the Black community in hockey, the Bruins community in hockey, but he's also a brilliant ambassador for the San Diego community in hockey. And he's lived in the San Diego area for over 30 years and kind of just a very visible figure in San Diego hockey. Kind of always going to the games. He's doing events and really just spreading hockey. Apologies. COVID is something you don't want after effects. Just spreading the game everywhere. And I guess one of the things I wanted to reflect on is that, yes, he broke the color barrier in the NHL. And obviously that is an incredible feat and he deserves every amount of acclaim that he gets for that. And I mean, the retiring of the number is long overdue, and I think it should be retired in the whole league. But also with that, it's not his job to be an ambassador for hockey. But he made it his job. He's been an incredible and visible figure in the hockey world, for his entire life. So, for that, I'm grateful, and I absolutely love that man. He's everybody I've talked to, everybody I've seen an interview with who's talked to him just absolutely gushes about how incredible he is and what a great mentor he is to anybody who wants to play hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. Just got to pick up on that. I was kind of thinking similar things on the way home today, just driving back before the game. And you know, obviously what he did for the sport as a player, pioneering really for Black hockey players and people who wanted to play hockey. And even I think outside of hockey, maybe, you know, I mean, it just kind of traditionally very white spaces. Hockey is, as we've discussed on here, a microcosm of that for a large society. And to do something like he did just as a player is outstanding. But then I think Chris put it into words really well, just saying it's not his job after his career to be an ambassador, do anything more than go out there and play, which is what he wanted to do and what he did. But to see him kind of pick it up and to this day really still make an impact. And I mean, look, this guy was playing, 60 years ago at this point, and there's still guys on the ice today who are, you know, saying it was an immediate impact of him playing. And, you know, obviously it's all one trail there. So just to see the impact that he's had outside of just playing, I mean, 45 NHL games is a remarkable thing, and to go on and spend really the rest of his life trying to dig in and find a space for everyone in hockey is really something that deserves a separate honor. But you can't say enough good things about him, and he seems like such a genuine guy. I've never obviously had the pleasure to meet him or anything like that, but from what everybody who has and you know, works with him to this day says about him, it's just gushing great things. So congratulations. I think it's super long overdue. Obviously, like Chris had said, you look at Major League Baseball has been celebrating Jackie Robinson Day since 2004. So hockey a little late to the party, as usual on these kinds of things, but certainly better late than never. And you know, it's a cool thing to see the Bruins playing a part in that. Obviously, as somebody who grew up Bruins fan and stuff. So, yeah, long overdue, and it's too bad he couldn't make the trip out and stuff because of COVID or whatever. But it seems like he, him and his family enjoy the ceremony and stuff, and I'm sure he's going to keep doing great work to this day.
Yeah, I think like the ceremony itself kind of captured the impact that Willie has. Just like if you look at who was raising the banner, which I believe it was Anson Carter, a person of color, a hockey player, Bruin. I think he played also, it was like Columbus. I was looking quickly. Or Vancouver, sorry. Wow, it's the old Vancouver jerseys I was seeing. So I thought it was the dark blue Columbus. But I believe they introduced as like a middle schooler who plays hockey. And it just shows like he's had that like impact that he's kind of paved the way for players of color to get into the NHL and play. But also all of this work that he's done after working with kids. I during that ceremony, a lot of what you saw on the screen was him working with kids, more so than even him playing in a Bruins uniform, which I think just speaks volumes about the lasting impact he's had and just the continuation of what he's done for the game and been an ambassador to the game. And a quote that really stuck with me that he said is, if you think you can, then you got it. If you think you can't, then you're right. You know, like you really have to have that belief that you can do it. And that's something that it seems like he had the entire way. I think he said something about how a doctor, something with his sight, how a doctor said, you know, you're probably not going to be able to play hockey. And boom, 2 years later, he's in the NHL,
yeah,
breaking the color barrier. So just perseverance on many fronts and just how much he did for the game. It's about time he got that recognition. And I hope that continues too. Because I think it was a couple years ago that he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and now the Bruins are finally retiring the number, like you guys kind of said, NHL behind the wave there, behind, you know, it's too long for them to recognize anything, let alone something as big as this and Willie O'Ree's impact. So glad to finally see it though. And just well-deserved.
Yeah. He kind of skirted over it there, but it is absolutely incredible. And also a reminder of why we wear at least visors nowadays in the NHL. But he was hit in the right eye with a puck.
Right.
And I think he said it fractured or shattered something with his actual
fully detached retina. Yeah.
Detached retina. Yeah. And he said he was 95% blind in one of his eyes, and still managed to carve out a bit of an NHL career and be a professional hockey player, which is insane to think about. Most people can't do that with, you know, fully functioning eyes or any, you know what I mean, anything. It's just remarkable to have that kind of setback and still, I mean, obviously I'm sure that was not a small, but you look at the two kind of the massive adversity you had to overcome between entering an all white game in the league in an era where that, you know, was obviously not common or hadn't happened yet and was not going to be the most accepting. And then adding on to the fact that you can barely see out of one of your eyes, anybody could have hung up the skates there and, you know, been respected for it. But it shows you how much drive he had to make his dreams come true. And it's, you know, it's a cliche, but it is truly incredible to watch that happen.
Yeah. Just a really awesome event, really awesome moment. It was cool to see that a lot of our Twitter friends were there to see it. And yeah, happy for Willie. And there were a couple of cool things I saw today, people reflecting on some things that had gone down in the past few years, like especially after he got inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2018. I know Matt Grizzlick's dad had been hanging on to one of his jerseys for a long time, or had procured it as I think he was one of the equipment managers way back in the day. Mm-hmm. And presented it to him again after he got inducted to the Hall of Fame. And, you know, just seeing Willie enjoying those moments is really cool. I guess today or yesterday, the San Diego Gulls presented him with one of his game-worn jerseys.
Oh, awesome.
And he obviously was touched by that. And I love seeing stuff like that.
Yeah, no, another thing, it was... There was this whole I saw behind the bee, the Bruins were presented him. It was Bergeron just telling him, like, we're really proud. It was him, Marshawn, and Pasta who were really speaking towards that. They told him that, you know, Boston made it that Willie O'Ride in the city of Boston. And they presented him with a hat too. And it was just, even throughout that whole ceremony, Marshawn was just beaming. And I don't know.
It, yeah.
I don't know if he has some sort of like personal relationship with Willie just throughout his years in Boston and such, but he seemed absolutely thrilled. And a side note was that there was a shot of Gary Bettman texting during the ceremony. So I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah. Gary, the thing that they had Gary, but whatever Gary Bettman said during the presentation was also some like wild bullshit that,
shocking.
No matter who you are, all you got to do is work hard and you can get there or something like that. Come on, man.
That's not how that works.
some people just need to work harder than others. It's just how it's fucking been for stupid reasons. Anyway.
All right. Do we want to talk? What's up?
DraftKings. We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Right. Only new customers, you newbies, better get in there. No, that's in the read. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get a 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet. You can still get in on all the action of the divisional round. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN and get 56-1 odds and feel the sweat like never before on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Sweat.
Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ooh, all right.
It's interesting now knowing that DraftKings actually checks on our ad reads, and like there's some cool to it.
Yeah, you can't slur through them anymore when I'm like...
Okay, yeah, we can't do them blitzed anymore. Is basically what it means.
I don't know. I think that's
you just got to do them well blitzed. It's all right.
Yeah. You so
read the blitz.
The lingering effects of COVID post being symptomatic are that my throat just like feels a little itchy and I sound super sexy. So I'm hoping
it's a win-win.
Hoping one of those sticks around. Hoping the other goes away. But right now I got my real good radio voice going on, so and I had to flex and had to host this episode.
Yeah, talk us out there, talk us sleep or at least to bed. Ayo.
Yeah, like we said, nothing much to talk about the game that happened after the ceremony.
I was gonna say I thought it was an incredibly classy gesture of the Carolina Hurricanes to come out just for the ceremony since there was no game being played after.
Yeah, pretty wild.
That was a pretty crazy season.
They honor, made the trek.
Yeah, all right, Willie. That's pretty
yeah, but we last recorded over a week ago, so we didn't catch most of the Pastrnak on Fuego.
No, yeah.
Did he even get the Marshy hat trick in there?
Yeah, I mean Marshy first star of the week, right?
Six 10 goals, points, 4 assists, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, 10 points in 4 games or whatever.
And not an all-star.
Yeah. Non-all-star Brad Marchand. Yeah, I mean those guys are humming, and they're humming on different lines, which is cool. I mean, obviously the power play is working, but you know, it's great to see those top two lines meshing a bunch. I don't have a whole lot extra to say about it, but that's fun stuff, and I hope the defense works its way out.
Yeah, I mean the line change is working. That is just spreading the wealth, and even the depth's getting in there. Defense is the sore spot. Part of that is just what's been happening with them for COVID protocol. You had Grizz in there for a bit. You had Mike Riley, the newest member of the protocol list.
This is the proof of concept, by the way. This is what happens to your defense when Mike Riley isn't there.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly. The seams. And then you got guys like Lewingston or whatever the fuck Lewington. I don't know. You got guys like that in there, right? And it's not like I'm not trying to shit on them, but like that's what who you're putting out on the ice. So that definitely, I think they need a bolster the roster there. But it's great to see the offense clicking. Putting Pasternak down the second line is working. With Holla there, it's working. And I've talked about how Holla maybe not the best guy to have on the second line there. His style of play really does match Pasternak and Hall, and he's a good place filler there for right now, obviously, just based on the execution that's been there. So it's really working out. You see Marchand and Pasta back-to-back games having hat tricks. That tells you enough, I think, about those lines. And I mean, yeah, the power play too plays into that, but you know, 5-on-5, both of those lines have been really good. So really good to see that's working out, because I think there's a lot of people that were skeptical. I was skeptical just in terms of how long is Cassidy going to give him. I guess he didn't have to give him long, though, to see some results.
Yeah, no, I agree. The depth's been nice, I think. I was kind of talking to my dad about it earlier, but tonight the Carolina game was supposed to be a pretty big test for the Bruins. I mean, obviously, they've been on this heater since they came back from the COVID break. Only lost that one game to Minnesota. Got a couple of pretty impressive wins, including a pretty nice shellacking of Tampa Bay about a week and a half ago. But, you know, Carolina's on another level right now. This team is a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. We're seeing why right now, as I'm seeing +5.5 live spread on the Bruins right now. It's still +230 odds. But, yeah, I mean, tonight was supposed to be a big test, and obviously the Bruins have, at least in a small sense, very minor sample size, failed miserably here. But
I don't know if seven goals against is a small sample size.
Yeah, that's
fair, I suppose. But seven now? Jesus Christ.
It's 7-1, yeah.
I
pulled it up just to see if, like, Marshy or Pasta scored again while we were talking about that. Yeah, but one has scored since the Bergeron goal.
Wasn't good at all. But yeah, no. So I just think this is kind of the moment we've been waiting for here. Obviously, they were flying a little close to the sun in the last couple of weeks, and eventually they were going to burn out a little bit. Seeing it tonight against Carolina, still got a couple of big games coming on. I mean, Washington on Thursday, you know, is always going to be a test, and they played last week too, and you know, went toward the Bruins and stuff. But to see how they bounce back from this anyway is going to be big. Just anytime you're on a heater like that, obviously you can keep that momentum going as long as you can. But this is certainly a humbling game against Carolina. So to see how they bounce back and see if they can keep playing as well or close to where they were at the last couple of weeks, or if they're going to fall back to the team that we saw for the first couple months of the season. The next 2 weeks really are going to be pretty defining, I think, for what the team does the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. How you bounce back from bad losses is very important. You know, testing a team that, you know, has a lot of new guys on it, and you know, maybe you don't know how that's gonna play out. But yeah, I guess the one other piece of Bruins news that I wanted to go over was the Carson Kuhlman waving, and then he got picked up by Seattle.
Not cool, man.
Kind of memorialized his time with Boston. anything to say, Drew, who I know as a college hockey guy, really enjoyed watching him in college.
I mean he's a great college player. He's a decent NHL player, a depth player. I mean, I think Seattle, it looks like they need anybody right now. Maybe Kuhlman will get some first line minutes. I mean, I think at this point, it's been nice to see that the Bruins have it. I would categorize Kuhlman like into this cluster of different Bruins that have been able to fill the void. You got guys like Anton Bleed, Oscar Steen, those guys as of late kind of filling that void. Just like a younger depth player that it's kind of doing what you're asking of them. But, you know, the Bruins seem to have a surplus in that category now, which is nice that we're seeing more and more of these younger players finally carving out some sort of role on the team. I don't think the Bruins are necessarily hurt by losing him for that reason. I mean, if you're looking at depth in terms of stuff with COVID, then maybe you want a Carson Kuhlman there. But, you know, if you're just looking at the 18 skaters that you're fielding, or, you know, if you think maybe 21 with the scratches, the healthy scratches, you're in a fine position. I think he's a good two-way depth player, and I think he'll remain that for like the rest of his career. With, I think he's one of those players that will probably bounce around a bit. I don't think he's a lifer on any team. Thank you for your service, Coolman. It was a blast to watch you, honestly, because I watched him since he won the NCAA championship. I watched that whole Frozen Four, and he was an amazing performance there.
I think he had the first goal in did he win two with Duluth? I'm trying to remember. I know he had the first goal in the Natty. I forget if that was the first or second year, but that doesn't matter.
I know when he won it the second he won it in his senior year, and that was his sending off and was like player of the tournament.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I think like Drew said, I think he's probably going to be a guy that bounces around. Certainly reminiscent of like you said, those kind of bottom six fill-in guys. But I don't know, I thought he was one of the more fun, entertaining players to watch. He was always somebody that was moving his legs and kind of one of those guys who just was going to put his head down and rip around the corners and throw bodies and try to force turnovers in the corners, and got to be shot happy sometimes, which was nice. You kind of see those guys defer a lot of the time, I think, toward your more traditional shooters, but he was somebody who was eager to play below the other team's, you know, face off dots, whether it was in the corner or fighting for space in front of the net. I don't know, when I think of Carson Coolman, I just think of a player like forechecking as hard as he can, which is something a lot of coaches will pick up on and appreciate at any level. Hopefully he's got some good things ahead for him, like Drew said, and you know, probably will bounce around a little bit, but it's not a bad life when you're making a few million dollars, so good for him.
Yeah, I think earlier this year I characterized him as like the perfect fourth liner for today's NHL. Mm-hmm. I've really think he's going to find a home somewhere, if not in Seattle, somewhere else. Just really solid defensively, with some offensive upside. And I think that's really what a lot of teams are looking for on their fourth line, especially a guy who can skate and keep up with some of the faster players. And it's not a huge mismatch if he gets caught up playing against some other team's top line. Mm-hmm. It just never really clicked offensively for him. I think the plan was always for him to be like a third liner, and it just never really worked out that way. And I think maybe Cassidy didn't see him as physical enough to play on the fourth line. But like Cam said, he was always grinding, and he was always noticeable. And there were always a few games where, you know, he would have a good offensive output, and then he'd get asked a bunch of questions at the press conference afterwards, and people would ask questions of other players about him, and everyone would always say good things. So I think overall good player, but like Drew was saying, not somebody that the Bruins are going to miss, because they do have those depth pieces that have stepped up and kind of covered for him. And, you know, when a guy runs out of options, you can't really dangle him around anymore. You can't be letting a guy like that stick around in Providence for too long. And good for him. I think he'll have a better opportunity to make his mark in Seattle.
Yeah, I think one more thing I'll say about Coolman is that I think I'm going to make a prediction, and that is he'll sign his next contract whenever that is. I don't know if he's going to be like a free agent or whatever this year, but sign his next contract. He'll be a nice fourth liner, 3-4 years, whatever. And then the Bruins will pick him up in free agency, as they inevitably do with players, because they're always looking to fill those bottom six. But the Bruins will sign him again. So what I want to say is, you know, Coolman, I hope it works out for us in the future. Who knows? Maybe our paths will cross again. If not, I hope we can remain friends.
Damn. Drew just broke up with Carson Coolman.
I'm
breaking up with Carson Coolman is a good episode title if we weren't doing the WWE thing right now. He'll just name it for Friday anyway.
And I guess the last piece of news is maybe the biggest news outside of the Willie O'Ree stuff. The PHF going all the way up to $750,000 for their salary caps. Ew. And with plans to add two teams in the future, with a definite expansion to Montreal. And then I guess they're kind of open for business for another American team. Very cool to see. They're still not getting paid enough, but I mean, at least this shows that this has worked so far. I think the test was putting it on ESPN Plus and seeing what the, you know, what the response is like. Is this worth our while? And even though the season is kind of sputtered because of COVID, I mean, the Pride haven't played in like 3 weeks or something, just because of like the way bye weeks have lined up with the COVID issues. But obviously the interest is out there. I mean, anybody who's part of our bubble knows that the following is there. Like we all see it. The people are rabid for this stuff. And I mean, if you're a true hockey fan, I would, and you're not already watching the PHF, I would highly suggest it. It's fun stuff. Like we've all watched it. It's a good product. There's good reason to be paying them the money they deserve. And yeah, good for them. Like this is cool news.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback off it, I was reading a little bit about more about it from the Ice Garden. And obviously the big news is jumping, like Chris said, from 300,000 to 750,000 salary cap. That's going to allow players to get paid closer to what they're worth. I mean, we're still not there yet, but that's obviously a 150% increase over, you know, year over year is pretty remarkable and a testament to how much the, you know, the women's game and has already grown. But then you also go and then you look at $25 million investment over just 3 years. So 7.5 of that is going towards salary and benefits, which is awesome. And I saw that includes maternity leave, so that's nice to see. You get a 28-game season, so that it gets expanded. And then the league really investing in its players. They're each getting it's a 10% of equity from each team is going to be contributed to an investment pool that's owned by the players. So that's kind of nice. I mean, obviously you get the direct salary, but then each of these players has a financial reason to really invest in the league as well and stick with it. And, you know, kind of just a, there's several options out there for players. So to see them kind of stick with PHF and that opportunity of, hey, you get your salary, which is obviously increasing here, but then also, you know, you're benefiting from the entire league growing as well is really awesome to see. So, yeah, the type of financial investment you want to see in that. And hopefully, you know, we kind of keep seeing this year over year, more expansion, more, you know, benefits, higher salary, more games, that sort of thing. Definitely good to see. And I don't know, like, just like Chris said, really a sign that the traction is already there. And the more money you throw into this, the more you're going to be able to pump out of it. So keep going. If I had a shit ton of money, I'd be buying a franchise right now and starting one, but they will start one. Well, yeah, I don't know, probably get kicked
see
off.
If we can, yeah, see if we can do a Kickstarter.
Yeah, I like it.
I think the amazing thing is that, you know, since the league's inception, a lot of these players have been working like another like full-time job because they're not being paid enough. I think that anyone who's playing at an elite level of hockey should be able to do that for a living and not have to worry financially about doing anything.
Shouts to our friend Mallory, who's a biomedical engineer.
Yeah, which I kind of like, as much as I want her to be paid enough to not have to do that, it's so fucking badass that she's also doing that I kind of like, yeah, maybe you should just keep doing it anyway.
Yeah, I just think it's overdue. I'm glad that it's not like they've been holding back because they like didn't want to. It seems like the league has needed to have the time to grow, and I'm glad it's finally getting to that point where it's like, okay, we recognize we're growing, and we're going to accelerate that pace. Like you said, a 150% increase is just the league really making a statement that yes, we're going to invest in our players, and I think that. As it goes along, if you're creating a good culture with your players and really showing that you care about them and they are the product, you don't have a league, you don't have a game to put on without them. That's only going to do better things as the league continues to grow. And adding two more teams, I think, is awesome. I am interested to see where that American team lands. I think it's great that they're going to have one in Montreal. I think that's a given. There should be Montreal teams in any hockey league ever. Even the KHL should have a Montreal team. But I think it'll be really interesting to see. And I think that just does wonders for the game wherever they expand.
Top of your head, where would you guys kind of like
Detroit?
That's a good one. I was thinking St. Louis, just trying to like expand a little bit.
But I think
Detroit's probably a more realistic one, just St. Paul, the geography.
Yeah. Oh no, they already have Minnesota. Duh. I'm like, Minnesota needs more hockey, but
I was just thinking of like geographically, figuring out where to go next. I think Florida would be an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's not too far away from the rest of the league right now, because I don't think you could go like LA. That just creates a burden of travel, but
the Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it'll be northeast still, northeast corner, but not like New England or New York is kind of.
I think
New
like
England,
Philly or
really.
Pittsburgh are pretty reasonable S's. I think those are kind of the I wouldn't say lame, but the ones that are, you know, safer ones.
I think they kind of got to stick to a bit safer just as the league is growing, and you see that's how like leagues tend to grow. They go with the safer bet where the fan base already is, and then take that what they've built up there and move it along. So but it's going to be interesting to see how they grow. You know, it's grown to 8 teams. They had just added a 6th team last season. Like they're going to, I hope they keep growing at this sort of pace. And obviously with any league, you can't, you don't want to grow too quickly and then have teams like the Arizona Coyotes.
Hey man, straight shots, dude.
Personal attack. Chris
all right, fine. you don't want teams like the Buffalo Sabres. it's great to see overall. Yeah. Very positive stuff.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I guess, a couple other things I wanted to mention that I don't know if we talked about previously, but the exclusive partnership with Warrior as an equipment provider and sponsor, and then the Upper Deck hockey cards that are going to be coming out. I think the cards especially are a really cool way to, you know, generate more revenue and generate more interest. And I'm going to be scooping those up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, players of the new deal has like image and likeness profits going to players and stuff too. So that's more opportunity there for individual athletes and stuff to kind of profit off of their own game and brand, which is always good to see.
Yeah, I think trading cards really needs to make a comeback. I think too many kids are playing Hockey Ultimate Team and FIFA Ultimate Team and
I mean
shit like that.
Trading cards are huge in other sports like basketball, like those. It's absolutely
for sure. I think it's more like it became like, I know when I was a kid and really way before that, I was kind of on the end of the wave there, probably you too, Cam, that like it was like a really popular thing to have like cards and to be trading them or whatever. And now it's more of this niche where it's like people are shooting for the valuable cards because they're so old now. So I would love to see it expand again because I don't know. It was just such a great memory of like opening the cards. And then my cousins who live next door to me had cards too. We trade them. We just look at them. We get packs together and then be like, fuck, you got a better pack. And then, like beat each other up.
I was going through some of my stuff when I was back in my parents' place. And I have a pretty wild baseball card collection that is probably not worth very much because I didn't keep very good care of them. But I have a couple of like Nomar rookie cards.
I was gonna say like a Babe Ruth rookie card.
Yeah, I have a Roger Clemens card like from his time with the Red Sox. Like that's nice. Probably worth something if in better condition, but
even if it's only like $50, that's great value for a piece of cardboard that you got in a like $3 pack. Like,
yeah, 20 years ago. Yeah, that's good.
I didn't even get it in a $3 pack. I had a friend who like inherited it from his dad who like gave it to me for my birthday one year because he was a baseball fan.
50% more value than that just based on spookiness and stuff. So
spookiness,
spooky value. It's something you put it on Facebook Marketplace and just spooky value in the comments section.
All right, we got anything else? Do we want to do any questions or anything?
I think we have four questions. If you want to run through them now or save them for later this week,
I think we save them and do a questions episode later this week. Maybe.
Yeah, I think we did a pretty decent length episode here.
Yeah, 46.
Are you satisfied, listeners? Send us an email.
Send us a new review on Spotify.
Wow, who's checked the email recently? Do we have any?
Oh no, let me check it. Let's just see if there's anything. Let's see if there's any
just for shits and gigs.
Let's see. Send us more memes.
Let's see. Let's switch to the brewsandbruins at gmail.com, by the way, if you want to send us the fan mail.
And Bruins, A-N-D.
Let's see. Elliot Bose F573 at gmail says, respected subscriber, your subscription to Norton Pack has successfully been renewed. I think this is...
All right.
All right, well, thanks for listening to this episode of Brews and Bruins. I've been Chris with my co-hosts, Cam and Drew.
Who we continue to be.
Who continue to be Cam and Drew.
I'm Cam.
I'm Drew.
Tune in later in the week and we'll be back. Thank you for listening.